This June, join Fallout for Hope as they host the global community super stream event, Wes Johnson's Voice of Palooza, to benefit the Longest Day Alzheimer's Association. This month-long super streaming event will feature actors, writers, directors, content creators, and streamers around the world as they all raise awareness and money for this Alzheimer's Association campaign through gaming, panels, and so much more. To learn more about Wes Johnson's Voice of Palooza or to donate, visit falloutforhope.com today. Cool Hockey is the official NHL jersey retailer for X75 Productions and TXHT Hockey. Use our exclusive link of coolhockey.com/TXHT and order your NHL jersey today. That's coolhockey.com/TXHT. Michael Toru is not available, but we do have his predictions for the second round. But I am joined by our good friend, author, and hockey journalist, Ted Starkey. Starkey, welcome back.
Yeah, always good to be here, man.
Yeah. So
for another round.
Oh, yeah. It's yet another round. And speaking about another round, we got to talk about the first round real quick. It's a shame Toru can't be here because he went 7-1 in the first round predictions. The only one he got wrong was St. Louis.
And they were, you know, 0.2 of a second from making him 8-0.
Yeah, I know exactly. I was 5-3. The ones I got wrong was Colorado, Los Angeles, and Ottawa. Those were the only ones I got wrong. And then you were 6-2. The only ones that you got wrong were Colorado and Ottawa.
Yes, and one of them was about, you know, 7 minutes away.
Yeah, I know, right?
Such a weird playoff, but yeah, no, it was interesting. You know, definitely saw some unexpected. I mean, the game sevens were phenomenal. I mean, you talk about two teams blew multiple goal leads in game seven 5 times in NHL history, and 2 of them were in the last 3 days.
Yeah, and let's start with that right off the bat. Let's go into the East. Obviously, as we just mentioned, Winnipeg is now going to be facing Dallas. Both of the teams, they're the Game 7 winners. Especially, like, looking at this, Dallas-Colorado was always viewed by many, and I'm going to quote Pierre LeBrun here, this could have been a Stanley Cup final matchup, depending on how the seeding could have been, or even a Western Conference final matchup between Dallas and Colorado. Dallas obviously won. Mikko Rantanen, 4 points, 3 goals and an assist in the third period alone of Game 7 to power the Stars past the Avalanche. And then, of course, Cole Perfetti had 2 goals in the game, including the one at 1.6 seconds left in third period to force overtime, which then saw Adam Lowry score the winner in double overtime, which that one almost could have gone to a triple overtime.
Yes. That was very close.
Looking at this series alone, seeing what these two teams have gone through to get to this part right here, the second round, what are you seeing out of these two teams, or what are you expecting out of these two teams going into this round?
I mean, I kind of thought, like, going to the playoffs, yeah, the Dallas-Colorado team is probably the favorite to come out of the West. I thought, you know, obviously Dallas did a great job being shorthanded, but yet, you know, Jake Ottinger was able to help them overcome the Avalanche. Clearly, I think the Avalanche had a little bit of a problem too with with Blackwood in net. I mean, I think I always have this theory that average goaltending can only take you so far in the playoffs, and I thought at the end he didn't, for about 53 minutes, Colorado held Dallas at bay, but then they kind of sat back, and once they let him start shooting at Blackwood, the results were not great. And obviously the same thing happened in Winnipeg. I thought the Blues really kept the Jets on their heels, but the last 2 or 3 minutes, I'm sure a lot of those Blues players are going to remember that in their mind. Not pat try to take long shots at the empty net rather than burn a clock off. And they just those last 2 minutes, you kind of could sense that the Jets were just firing everything, and the Blues weren't doing a whole lot to defend. And but like the Capitals saw in the first round, when you let that happen, usually bad things happen. And I kind of, I would have thought that St. Louis, and certainly, Jim Montgomery did not look pleased on the St. Louis bench with what was going on, but the Blues were just hanging on at the last minute. I thought obviously both series were very tight. Colorado, obviously they're going to debate that Rantanen deal for years on end. Both the two players they acquired were good, but Rantanen's Rantanen. I mean, I had the stat that the three guys that got traded for Rantanen this year had less points than Rantanen did in the last three games of that playoff series,
Yeah, and it's interesting. We'll give Rantanen the second one because, quite frankly, that banked off of a Colorado defender and into an empty net on a wraparound. So we can't really blame Blackwood on that. But I was listening to the 32 Thoughts podcast this morning, and the one thing Elliot Friedman said is that apparently, like, the Stars goalie coach, who I'm blanking on the name of the goalie coach for the Stars, but apparently they saw something in Blackwood's game and were then able to exploit it specifically in game seven. But then another interesting fact is that Winnipeg has not won a game on the road yet in these playoffs. They have not been able to win on the road. That is one of the possible biggest concerns right there for Winnipeg, because it's like, here's Connor Hellebuyck at home, standout goaltender, and then you play at on the road and your team gets blown out. So definitely something there that to also keep an eye on.
I mean, that's going to be a theme too. I was digging through one of the other series, and there's a big discrepancy in home versus road. So it's going to be interesting to see, how some of these shake out. But obviously Dallas is another tough place to play for an opposing team. And if Dallas gets one of the first two games in Winnipeg, then really, it forces the Jets to have to win on the road. And they've been a lot less effective away from home than at home.
Yeah, so with that, we go into predictions. Toru, who is not available, he has submitted his prediction, and his prediction is Dallas in seven.
That sounds about right. I mean, that's, I think that, I think, I think, like I said before, I think the Colorado Dallas winner has a very good shot at going to the final. And I think, obviously Dallas has had some near misses over the years. They kind of ran out of gas last year against Edmonton, but I think they're in a little bit better shape, especially if they get healthier, which it sounds like they may for the second round. They get some of those players back that they were missing in the first round. I think Winnipeg's gonna have a very, very tough time.
Yeah, so you're going to say Dallas for this round as
Yeah, I'll say
well.
Dallas in seven.
Okay, and then I have Dallas. I don't know how many games, but I know it'd probably be like six or seven. Could be sooner, depending on what Winnipeg can do on the road, specifically. Next up, we got the Edmonton Oilers versus the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm just going to hop right into this real quick for Toru. Toru goes, Edmonton and Vegas will trade road wins, and then I will use my proven battle-tested finger-crossing technique for the Oilers in game seven. So that is Toru's selection right there. He's picking the Oilers in seven. He may not be physically here on the show, but we're getting him on the
His
show.
presence.
I mean, Vegas, they took on Minnesota, a very game Minnesota, but we all kind of knew that that was Vegas's series to win. One way or the other, the one that was the coin flip in a way was going to be LA Edmonton. And hats off to Edmonton. They took the first two games at home. They were hot. And then for whatever, Edmonton made the goalie change from Stuart Skinner to Calvin Picard. And Picard has, I mean, he hasn't been perfect, but he's 4-0, and then guided the Oilers to the 4-2 series victory over the Kings, which also at right before we started recording, the Kings announced they've mutually part ways with general manager and vice president Rob Blake. So there's
Right.
now a general manager opening in Los Angeles after being eliminated by the Oilers. This is a rematch from past playoffs as well between Vegas and Edmonton. I believe they also played last year against each other. So this is another one for Edmonton where they're, even though they beat Vegas last year, this is still a proving ground for them because Vegas isn't as deep as they were the last time the two teams faced, whereas Edmonton's a little deeper. How are you feeling about this Edmonton Vegas series this time around compared to the previous ones?
I mean, I think, like you were talking about, I think the big turning point in that LA Edmonton series is LA really went to their four defensemen later in the series. And I think, I saw a lot of the reports, like once they dropped overtime in game four, I think a lot of people thought that might be it for the Kings, just because, those guys are playing exceptional amounts of ice time. And it's just harder, especially against a team like Edmonton, to have to slow guys down when you're fatigued. And I think, in this case, I think Vegas is probably, they're not, like you were saying, they're not quite what they were, but I still like the overall team structure better than Edmonton. I still think Edmonton has issues defensively and in net. And as we were alluding to, I think you can go a decent amount. Edmonton almost did it with Skinner last year, but they also got a whole lot of help outside their playoff series with some upsets and Dallas getting tired. So I think Vegas will take them this year. I just get a feeling that Edmonton, is kind of gonna, their luck will run out a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely feel that the loss of Matthias Ekholm is going to be really is going to be more felt in this series than in the first round against the Kings. And say the Oilers do move on, that loss of Ekholm is going to be felt even more in the Western Conference Final, especially if they face Dallas.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I definitely feel. I also think Adin Hill is a better goaltender than Calvin Pickard, but we also know that Stuart Skinner is going to be on the ready in case Pickard's game starts falling in the series. I'm sorry, Turo, but I'm also going to side with Ted here. I'm going with Vegas in this one. But you know what? Last time I went against the Oilers, I was wrong in that series. So who knows what happened this one? Then moving on, we have the Florida Panthers versus the Toronto Maple Leafs, aka the Maple Leafs have to face yet another Kachuk brother. As I joke about that, Brady had actually, in his playoff debut, had a pretty good,
Yeah.
debut in the playoffs. Toronto, I think actually losing games 4 and 5 were probably the best for them. Because it put some adversity on them to make them go, okay, we've seen this story before. Let's push back. And with a Stanley Cup winning coach like Craig Berube, it has really helped the Leafs stay calm in that type of situation. But then you have Florida, who's the defending Stanley Cup champions, and Toronto gets to face one of their past tormentors in Brad Marchand.
Right.
What are you looking at when you see this series between Toronto and Florida?
I mean, I think Florida is going to be the team to beat until they're knocked out. I think, like you were saying with the Toronto Ottawa series, I think Ullmark has struggled early in the series, and really, even though Ottawa tried, they could not come back from that deficit. But the Leafs are going to have their hands full. The Florida is another team that will try to punish Toronto. They will get in their face. They will try to wear them down. And I'm not really sure how Toronto is going to last against that kind of team. I mean, obviously Florida, Ottawa was a nice team. I think Florida is just very deep. They can beat you a lot of different ways. The goaltending's better. And I have a hard time thinking Toronto takes that series, barring some rash of injuries to Florida. But I just think Florida will probably make fairly quick work of them, maybe 5 games. But I don't like Toronto as a long-term prospect to win the cup. And I kind of think their run ends here.
All right. Well, Turo picks the Panthers in 6. I am being gutsy here, and I am saying Toronto. Normally, I don't say how many games, but I'm going to say
Oh,
Toronto in seven.
yeah.
I think Berube, he's a different type of coach compared to what the Leafs have had in the past. And he's been teaching that accountability all season. I think the Leafs are going to be able to push it to seven. I'm still picking the Leafs to win because we're talking about the next series, the final series next, and there's a reason why. But I don't know. I just feel like this could be the final time, the final that moment now that where Toronto can finally kind of push their way through a little bit. And this is a little bit of that adversity they need to face to get there. And a seven game series with Florida is a good way to test them. I agree. I don't see him past the conference final. If they get to the conference final, I don't see him in the Stanley Cup final, but I could see them maybe being like, because they're also coming in as underdogs. The Leafs usually never come in as underdogs. And I think that's one of those, like, it's like that gut feeling that goes, I think the Leafs could pull this off. Like, just because of that reason too, the coaching, of Berube, the accountability that the Leafs have been feeling, have been taking on, and that feeling that they're the underdogs this time,
Yeah,
that they're.
the only thing that's tricky is obviously playing in Toronto. It's similar to, what Montreal had in this last round. Even though, they're not technically the favorite, there's a lot of pressure coming on the Canadiens, and I think obviously there's a lot of pressure on Toronto. I mean, you saw it in games 4 and 5 of the Ottawa series, and I think, the one thing with Florida, yes, they're the defending champions, but you're playing in a South Florida market that's not necessarily the high pressure cooker that Toronto is. And at the further they get, in the playoffs, it just ramps up. And you're going to see, it'll be interesting with the Leafs too, because obviously Tavares and Marner are going to be unrestricted free agents after the season. And so this could be the last run of the core four. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But it's just the pressure in Toronto is massive, even if they're not technically the favorites. And it just that seems to it's you know it's similar to baseball with the Red Sox or the Cubs. Eventually they got over it, but until you get through it, that pressure just can be crushing.
Yeah, so I'm pulling for Toronto, and the way I see it is this way, because we all picked the same team for this final series we're about to talk about.
Right.
We all selected Dallas. You and I selected Vegas. Toro selected Edmonton. You and Toro selected Florida. I selected Toronto. So one way or the other, Toro and I are going to be wrong regardless of what happens in this second round. Which brings us to our final series of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. We will be talking about PWHL in a moment. Is the Washington Capitals and the Carolina Hurricanes? Capitals obviously defeated the Hur or the Canadiens in 5 games, and the Hurricanes defeated the an injury depleted New Jersey Devils. Like, we have to kind of put that little asterisk right there.
Yes.
They were a very bad, damaged New Jersey Devils team in 5 games. However, Carolina and the Caps in the regular season split the season series 2 games apiece. This is going to be the ultimate test for the Caps. This is the second time that these teams have faced off in the playoffs, last time being in 2019, which I was actually at game five for that one when I saw Nick Doubt scoring on a penalty shot goal and Braden Holtby record a shutout. I almost said a hat trick. That would have been really funny. record the shutout. Looking at this series, what are your thoughts on this? Because first, the Capitals defeat the Canadiens, a team they had never been able to beat in the playoffs, albeit it's only the second time. Now we're having the same scenario here, but with a much more durable team, I guess you could
Yes.
say.
I'll give you my I alluded to earlier the surprising fact about this series. Carolina was the third best home team in the league this past season, but they were 10th worst on the road. In fact, they were the only one of the bottom 14 to make the playoffs. So clearly, they're going to be looking, in 2019, the home team held serve until game seven. So obviously it's going to be key. Obviously the Caps have to hold on home ice unless they can win down in Raleigh. Because it's a much, much different environment. Although it's going to be interesting with the ice conditions, with the with the stage down between, basically sandwiching games three and four. There's going to be a concert before and after each night. And, with the weather getting warm down there, I can't imagine it's going to help the Canes with that ice conditions.
Oh, not
But
just down there, but up here too with the weather conditions. It's getting a lot warmer up here in the DC metropolitan area too. So, that could be a factor for the Capitals as well. I mean, granted, there's not any other events happening at Capital One Arena because of the transformation that's being going on right now. But you got Pearl Jam at Lenovo Center.
yeah,
So
it's crazy. You we were talking. I know we were talking offline about how they're breaking it down in between. That's just nuts. I mean, clearly they use those dates for the league was required teams to have these dates for playoff games, and it just the way it works out, they fill in every other possible date in between. So, but I mean, I think the Caps, their key is Carolina's key is going to be trying to pressure the Caps. I think they average like 36 shots a game against New Jersey again. Like I said, it comes with a big asterisk because it's a heavily depleted Devils team.
yeah, they were missing like to start the series. They were missing. Who were they missing? They're missing
Hughes.
Siegenthaler. No, they're missing Siegenthaler to start the series, and then they lost Luke Hughes and Brendan Dillon in game one, I believe it was. So then for a while they're missing all three. Siegenthaler came back, I believe, in game three for the Devils, but then they also were without Jack Hughes, which is like the catapult or the catalyst of their offense as well.
And
So
I mean, in some of those games, until they were facing elimination, you could tell the Devils really didn't get much sustained offense. I think one of the games they had 10 shots in two periods in game one, I believe. And it just, and against a team like Carolina, whose goaltending I think is another one that's very, could be very suspect. I would think Anderson's going to be back. It sounds like he's skating. So I would presume he's going to be back for the series. If, Kochetkov is in net, that's going to be very, very difficult for the Carolina Hurricanes to go anywhere.
well, not
But,
only that, but I think it just how healthy is Anderson at the same time, because, I was reading the hockey news. They put out their Eastern Conference predictions, and they said that, it depends on Anderson, but he proves to be an injury risk. While with Logan Thompson for the Capitals, he's proven that he can be that guy for the Capitals. I mean, you throw game three out because that was just the outlier game because, the team went into Montreal and you could just feel that energy just surging from the through the from the arena through the Canadiens players in that game. But that's definitely one of the biggest questions right there. Not only that, but it's like, in a way, whose defense do you think is the deeper defense, Carolina or the Capitals, when you look at the pairings?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Caps are just the Hurricanes are stacked up front, but I think both goaltending and defense, I think the Caps are better. I just think the Caps are going to have to apply enough pressure because I think what you saw in the game, the Caps, granted it was one of those games that where the Caps are already clinched and they weren't overly impressive, but that April 2nd game in Raleigh, they were just being overrun. I think I tallied up. I think the Canes averaged 33 shots against the Caps, in the four games. So clearly they're going to get shots. It's just, the Caps, I believe, had in the low 20s. So you got to make the most of your opportunities because, if you pressure this goalie, he will crack. It's just, the Canes try to keep the foot on the gas. So they basically play off, they play defense by playing offense. They keep you back in your zone and you can't get shots. And
It's
that's where
kind of
they.
like the old Bruce Boudreau era Caps. Your best defense was your offense. It's like defense be damned, we're just gonna play offense. And it's interesting because when we also look at this series, some of the key players that need to kind of show for the Canes to really dominate this series is a Sebastian Aho. He hasn't really shown up. Andrei Svechnikov did for the Canes, but not maybe as much as was needed against the Devils. But like those two guys in particular are really gonna have to step up for the Canes if the Canes really wanna knock out the Capitals. But then at the same time, the Capitals are so deep where they have all these guys, stepping up, scoring goals. I mean, like, look at what Brandon Duhaime has done. Look at what, now Protas is back in the mix. He played in game five. And then you mentioned April 2nd, for the Capitals, against the Canes. We should also remember April 10th because that was the last time they played in DC against the Canes as well. And if I remember right, I don't think the Caps won that one either. And that was the day
They
they and that was the day they celebrated Ovechkin. No, they did win that game.
wanted to shoot out.
Yeah, that's right. They won in the shootout, and that was the game that they celebrated 8.95 for Ovechkin. So
I mean, it's interesting because both teams really are going to want their best when they push. You know, the Caps are the same way as the Canes. If they keep, you know, they kept Montreal on their heels for the majority of that series. They're very unsuccessful when they succeed when they ceded, you know, space and time to the Canadians. And I think obviously the Canes will make you pay as well. Although I would suspect that they're probably going to try to play a little bit more defensive to try to slow them down. I'm not sure which is a better poison. Because I think if you play back, I think the Canes will just fire it at will, and you know they don't necessarily they get pretty goals, but they also get the you know the tip-ins, they get the rebounds, and I think you know when they get 30 some shots a night, they're going to score a couple of goals, and you just have to match or you know exceed that if you're going to do that.
well, I also think it's like, and it goes back to 2010 when the Capitals faced the Canadians the first time. And, you know, the Capitals outshot the Canadians like, what was it, like 40 to 20 or something like that, like every game. But the thing is, though, and this is something that the Capitals need to do to Carolina, is it's not about how many shots you face, it's about how many quality shots you face. Because,
They will shoot the puck from anywhere, and they will,
yeah.
you know, they look for those tips, they look for those rebounds. That's their MO. And
Yeah,
then
and that's those type of quality shots they're going to look for against the Capitals that the Capitals are really going to want to try to defend against. It's like, oh, if you push them to the outside and you make them shoot for the sake of shooting, have at it. We got Logan Thompson for that, you know? So, but,
the interesting thing too with Logan Thompson, he's only faced the Canes for 80 minutes in his career. He had the 20 minutes that he was pulled in April 2nd, and he lost to them last year with Vegas. So it's interesting. He's looking for his first win against the Hurricanes, and I think his save percentage is somewhere in the, I think it was like 780 or something like that. So he'll definitely look to improve on that.
yeah, and not only that, but you know what they always say, playoffs are a completely different animal from the
Yep.
regular season.
Yes, they are.
So with that, real quick, we have Turo's prediction. He says, I will say Caps in seven. I am saying Capitals. I know this is like super optimistic of me, but I'm also looking at it from another perspective that I'm not going to talk about on air. Caps in five. I don't think it'll happen that way, but maybe Caps in six. What about you, Ted?
I'll go Caps in seven. I think it's going to be a tough series, but I think as long as the Caps get enough pressure on Andrew, I just think the edge in goaltending is really going to benefit Washington. I think even Charlie Lindgren, I think I would take over the two Carolina goalies. And I think, you know, I just think that's such a, like I was saying before, it's such a key in the playoffs.
So with that, we're going to do a quick transition over from NHL to PWHL. I know, Starkey, you had mentioned that you're not as familiar with the PWHL like I am, so I'm just going to throw this out there real quick. So out of the six teams, only four make the playoffs, and first seed was the Montreal Victory, second place was the Toronto Scepters, third place was the Ottawa Charge, and fourth place was the Minnesota Frost. Now, it should be noted that in the PWHL that the top seed gets to select their semi-final opponent, which Montreal has decided to face the Ottawa Charge, meaning that for the second year in a row in the semifinals, the Toronto Scepters will face the Minnesota Frost. An interesting fact that last year Toronto was the first seed and selected Minnesota to be their opponent in the semifinals, which then led to the Charge of the Minnesota of then PWHL Minnesota to become the first ever Walter Cup champions in the PWHL. For everyone who does not know, it is a best of five series in both the semifinals and the championship round. And the playoffs for them start Wednesday when the Minnesota Frost visit the Toronto Scepters, 7 p.m. Eastern. You can watch the games on YouTube and on PWHL.com.
You figure, I mean, we talked about this before about the prospect of picking your opponent is just such a, you know, you pick your poison because, you know, you may pick a team you think you match better against, but, you know, that other team's going to feel kind of annoyed that, oh, we think you're better for us to beat than the other team.
Well, it's very interesting because just like last year, Minnesota squeaked their way into the playoffs again because when they came out of the breaks, they just started losing games last year. Like when they came out of the Women's World's break, they faltered and they barely just got in, which is why Toronto's like, oh, well, this team's struggling. Let's take them. And then this year, same deal. They came out of the first break that they had, struggled, came out of the Women's World's break, struggled again. The only reason they got in was because they beat the Boston Fleet 8-1 in the last day of the regular season. And the Boston Fleet were the other team trying to get into the playoffs, too. Which, fun fact, Minnesota beat Boston in the championship game or championship series last year. So talk about irony on that one at the same time. But yeah, and knowing that, former Washington Capital Ken Klee is the coach of the Minnesota Frost, he knows how to get this team motivated. So Montreal looked at what happened last year when Toronto selected Minnesota and went, Minnesota's doing the same thing this year. I don't want to mess with that team. So we'll see. But like I said, game one between Minnesota and Toronto is start this Wednesday at 7 p.m. And then game one of Ottawa and Montreal will be Thursday at 7 p.m. And again, you can watch the games on thepwhl.com and on the PWHL's YouTube page. So with that, Starkey, where can the people find you on social media?
At Ted Starkey is my Twitter or X handle. And also, I will be starting writing for hockeyhotstove.com. So,
Nice.
starting this week, I will be doing regular columns and stuff for them, which is an exciting venture. So, it'll be nice to be back out in the writing field for a while.
That's awesome. And then, of course, for me, everything is at TXHT underscore hockey, TXHTHockey.com. And of course, if you want me personally, it's at the Lindenbaum 75 on all social media platforms. And for Toru, he is just on Instagram at Toru Masamune. So feel free to give him a follow as well. Starkey, we've already had a really good first round. Let's get ready for a really good second.
Yes, it'll be interesting. And we got a couple of weeks, and we'll see who survives and see who's correct at the end in terms of the varying. I mean, it's an interesting four matchups. I mean, like you were saying, Dallas, Colorado easily could have been a later round, and it's just, some of these matchups you just don't know which. Obviously, Dallas, Winnipeg is probably a favorite to go to the final. Florida. We'll see. Their big question is if they run out of gas.
They
Washington.
have played a lot of games,
Yes, I mean
like they played like 60 playoff games in the last like 4 years.
yeah, I mean you consider this is going to be they advance to the conference final. It's their third straight long run, and that just, at some point those teams just run out of gas. Like we're talking 2019, the Caps basically ran out of gas in that game. You could, by that second overtime, you could tell Washington wasn't going to advance. And so, that's always the X factor for that. And, it'll be interesting. And then, obviously if Edmonton can have another magic carpet ride deep, we'll see. Vegas is Vegas. They build up for this time of year. So.
So with that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you in about a week and a half to 2 weeks when we talk about the conference finals. And until next time, we will see you at the on the ice.
Looking for something fun to do on Labor Day weekend? Then come to MiryokuCon at the Lord Baltimore Hotel in Baltimore, Maryland from August 29th through 31st. Come meet voice actors Crystal Laporte and Amanda C. Miller. Plus, there will be cosplay, panels, vendors, and so much more. Head over to MiryokuCon.org to purchase your badges and book your hotel rooms today.